We sure appreciate all you guys and what you do. Just amazing what it the difference it makes when you start hearing another instrument, another drum, a piano, and everything just goes together, working together. It's just it's a beautiful noise. Amen?
Amen.
I said noise. That's beautiful music. I don't know if noise is the right word. I thought it was. Maybe it's... Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Kind of privilege to be among you. Got to see Brother Brian earlier today. God bless you, buddy. He's got a pretty good little drive from his house. So come expecting tonight. We want to speak to you on a thought tonight. Welcome the victory. Welcome the victory. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 8. And one scripture here. She's going to have this here on the multimedia for us also. And just want to say thank you again, everybody, being supposed to duty. Everyone is praising the Lord. It just makes it easier, you know, when everyone's in the spirit and got the engine warmed up and just ready to go. Amen. Let's just read this in the name of the Lord. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord spake unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you this evening. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, I just want to be your vessel. Lord, I have no desire to bring anything puffed up, anything of myself, Lord, to only speak what your word says, Lord. Lord, in the demeanor of it, Lord, that you want me to speak it in. Lord, I ask you to touch every believing heart tonight, Lord, that you would let every word fall in deep ground of their hearts, that in the coming days, Lord, it would burn in their heart as a hot coal, Lord. Lord, causing them, helping them to believe your word, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. God heard the affliction of his people, and I want to say this, God still hears the affliction of his people. And they were under a bondage, and God came in a way that the people did not expect. And God still does that in the same way. A lot of times you want deliverance from God, but you think when it comes, this is the way it's going to come. But sometimes it comes completely different, the way you expected. And you know, the people began to welcome Moses because they saw the signs, just as when Jesus came, they began to follow Jesus because of the signs. And it's one thing to start following, it's another thing to keep following and to stay with. And without a doubt, there were many people that had tried to free themselves in the times of bondage in the Egyptians and lost their life in doing so. And you know, we don't chase healing, but we welcome healing. Is that right? You know, we don't chase the victory, but we want to welcome the victory. We don't want to chase life. We want to welcome the life. We don't want to chase success, but we want to welcome the success. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's a difference. You know, if you're chasing something, you may never get it. But if you welcome it, it'll come to you.
Right.
You know, you can try chasing a dog. You might not ever catch it. But if you welcome the dog, it'll come. That's the way I want to do. I want to welcome the victory in my life.
Amen.
I want to welcome the healing into my life. Don't chase it. Welcome it. Let it come to you. Because it will. You know, the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You don't have to chase it. Let it come. Because it will come. Amen. We don't want to force a crop to come forth, but we want to welcome the crop. And the way we do that is we make the ground fertile, and we make it in a way that it welcomes life. And that's the thing, the way we want to do. We want to welcome life into our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 6, it says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. I'm going to read that last scripture again. It's very important. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And we're talking about we want to welcome the victory. It's one thing to build a house, and it's another thing to have it filled with substance. And there's a lot of houses that you see, a majority, it would actually blow your mind if you actually go into houses and see how many houses look so good on the outside, but they're empty on the inside. You know, or inside of it, there's no life. Because, you know, it's not a house that makes a home, it's a family. There is a life inside the home. So it's not the structure of the building, it's the life inside the home. And you know, the children of Israel, without a doubt, when people began to see them with the exploits that God was doing, delivering them under the bondage of Pharaoh, people can look at those children in Israel and say, wow, that's life. This is God. Look at this house. But you know what? It's not just having starting a house. It's not even just having a house, but it's having a house of substance. And we don't want to be a person that appears to have life. We want to be a person that maybe we don't look exactly right on the outside. But when someone spends a little bit of time with that, they say, that's a person of substance. There's something to that person. There's something to that home. When I go to that home, there's something to that. What is it? It's substance. The children of Israel began to follow the leadership of Moses. And whenever they welcomed Moses, they were welcoming the victory. Amen? Because that was something God was doing. And when they started their journey, that's to build a house, so to speak. Amen? But we don't want to start to build a house. We want a house of substance. We want a life of substance. Amen? I am not against coming up for prayer. In special meetings, I think they're wonderful. I've seen healings take place. It's beautiful. Hey, you feel the pull in your heart. You go up. You get prayed for anytime, as many times as you need it. It's disturbing to me sometimes. I see the same single person over and over and over and over and over. And you got victory for a little while. And by the next meeting, you've completely lost it. And then you've got the victory again. Then you've completely lost it. I don't believe we're called to that. We're called to more than that. We're called to be believers, an established believer with substance.
Amen.
Amen. They were walking close enough to Moses that they could be identified as believers, but most of the people did not have any substance. There was coming a testing time to see if they had the substance, and most of them were not wise. Remember Scripture always said about being wise. If they would have stayed with the wise counsel, they would have had safety in the midst of war. If they would have stayed with the wise counsel, they would have had safety in the midst of their test. Brothers and sisters, it is so important that we stay with the wise counsel.
Amen.
It's so important. Whenever you're staying focused with the wise counsel and you're keeping your eyes on it in the midst of the test, you're going to pass the test. Why? Because you're focused on the counsel.
Amen.
Through the test, when you're going through war, there's safety for you when you are focused on the wise counsel. Psalms 27 verses 1 through 5, a popular text in the Message. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Ain't that beautiful?
Amen.
What are they doing? Focusing on wise counsel.
Yeah.
Amen? We have 66 books of wise counsel. Over and over of wise counsel. Of we can look and abide and read the scriptures and meditate on the scripture. What is it? Wise counsel.
Right.
We have over 1,100 tapes of wise counsel.
Right.
That we can listen to it. What are we doing when we're focused on listening to the wise counsel? What are the tapes for? Wise counsel.
Right.
Because war is coming. Tests are coming. We would be foolish to not pay attention to the counsel because the tests are coming. we can do that in the natural, how much more should we do for the spiritual? You know, they'll do advertisements over all kinds of the bird flu, the swine flu, coronavirus, of all kinds of different things, and they'll advertise because people will be worried to death. But you know what? The one thing that we should advertise more than ever is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Of the most important thing in this life is there is a judgment coming, and God has given a way of escape. And if we don't welcome God's escape, we will go to the judgment.
Amen. Right.
So don't try to force the love of Christ through your life, but welcome the Christ. Welcome the life of Christ. Welcome the Holy Spirit. I want to say this. Welcome the substance into your life. How many of you want substance in your life?
Amen.
I want it to be when someone meets me, someone interacts me, when I reach the end of my days, I want the people to say, Brother Daniel was a man of substance.
Amen.
I want it to be that he ran his race well. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. There was something about him. Brother and sister, is that your desire? That when someone brings your name up, that they would be, the unbeliever would be ashamed to say something about you because you live such a consecrated life. Not because you're saved by works, but because you love the Lord.
Amen.
From your heart, you love the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Read this quote. He says, Brother Graham says, I was thinking of the assurance of our going over. And then we notice that one time God's children were slaves down in Egypt. They throw them bread, molded, rotten. Whatever it was, they had to eat it. They ravished their girls. They killed their sons, anything that they would. And them was people of God. That's right. And so they were slaves and they could not help. But one day, coming down out of the wilderness, come a prophet with a pillar of fire over him. And he told them the word of God. And there was a land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised Abraham he would take his children to. And this prophet was a vindicated of being of God by the signs and wonders that he did while he was in Egypt. And the people believed this man. He come out of Egypt, the children of Israel, and come to a place of Kadesh Barnea, which any scholar knows that Kadesh Barnea one time was the judgment seat of the world. There's where Israel met her judgment, when she failed to believe the sign that they brought back from the grapes and the things of the land. Now remember, nobody had ever been in this land in their group. They've heard of it. Faith cometh by hearing. God made the promise. Do you get it? God made the promise, and here come Moses, the runaway prophet, in there with vindicated signs and proving that it was God taking them to this land and they'd never seen. What a perfect type of today. None of us has ever seen it. Notice, when they came to Kadesh Barnea, the judgment seat, they had great warrior among them named Joshua, which means Jehovah's Savior, Joshua. Now he crossed over Jordan into the promised land and returned back with the evidence that it was a good land. He had grapes. Two men had to pack the bunch. They could taste the heavenly things from over in the promised land, the good land flowing with milk and honey. They come back to prove that the land was truth, that God's word was exactly what Moses had said it was through the inspiration of God. It was there. They could have their homes, the occupants, of course. They had to fight for every inch of the road they took. God told Joshua that everywhere the soles of your feet sets, that's possession. That's the way it is today. Everywhere the soles of your foot sets, it's possession. Just keep walking. Footprints means possession. You say amen.
Amen.
We don't want to just come out of Egypt. We want to take our land. We have to follow because God gave a ministry of Joshua that would not just take you out of Egypt, but take you into your promised land.
Right.
Where you have got to fight for that end. You have to fight for your land. God gave it to you, but you've got to take it, brother and sister.
Right.
It's ours. Amen. Say it's mine.
It's mine.
It's my land. I want my land. But you're going to have to fight for it.
Amen.
You'll be tired. Maybe sometimes you'll be going to service and you're so tired, you've worked all day. What are you doing when you're here? You're fighting for it. I'm fighting for my land. I'm beholding the wise counsel, not of Brother Daniel, not of Brother Tony, of the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whenever he comes, because I'm beholding that, because I want my land.
Amen.
Amen. It's one thing to come out of Egypt. It's another to claim the promised land. It's one thing to come out of organized religion. It's another thing to actually take the land. Right. Amen? Moses had a good part of his ministry to lead the people out of the promised land. But remember, it was Joshua that took them into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua is the top of the end time ministry. Caleb is the top of the end time believer. Amen? Hi, Caleb. Amen? That's me. That's scripture. Brother Tony talked about the other day about the Lamb's Book of Life. That's me. Joshua and Caleb, that's me.
Right.
You've got to be able to take your land. There are a lot of people that come out of denominations, but they went right back into idolatry. Right. Catch what I'm saying here, brother and sister. If we are not being positionally placed, we are roaming through the wilderness.
Right.
We do not want to be roaming around, not knowing who we are, wondering if we're going to make it, wondering if I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, wondering if I'm saved, wondering if this is, can I do this, wondering if I can do that. We should be beyond that, brother and sister.
Yeah.
Because it's rapture time, amen? Yeah. To where I know who I am. I know I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know who I am in this word. I know I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. You say amen for yourself.
Amen.
I know. So when the devil tries to come against you, like, devil, I'm beyond that.
Yeah.
I know who I am.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 11:3-6, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. If you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might though bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things.
Amen.
I want to say this. Paul was thoroughly, the ministry of Paul was thoroughly manifest. God made it clear. This is the wise counsel.
Yeah. Right.
To the point where in the scripture it says, if any man or angel preach any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Right.
Listen to what I'm saying. Same thing in this day. God put the prophet on the scene, and God thoroughly manifested the ministry. Why did God do that? Because God was saying, this is the wise counsel.
Right.
And what made it a wise counsel is it 100% goes with this.
Amen.
Listen to me. If Paul's ministry went contrary with the Old Testament, it'd been wrong. We could have gave him the word test. Hey, Paul, I realize you may have miracles, but you got off the word. You're wrong. Same thing with Brother Brennan's ministry. It don't matter how many miracles took place. If his doctrine went contrary to the word, he'd have been a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. Brother and sister, we need to have the assurance. I know the wise counsel.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Eve had wise counsel under Adam, and the serpent got her away from the counsel. He got her away from the word. Listen to me. The devil is coming to try to get you away from the wise counsel. You want to welcome the victory? Stay with the counsel.
Amen.
The word. Amen? The serpent got her away from the counsel, and if she would have welcomed the counsel, kept welcoming the counsel, when he come during her test, she would have overcome the devil. Aren't you thankful that she didn't? Because we got the opportunity to manifest who Jesus was and is because she fell. You know what I'm talking about? Because God had all the attributes of being a healer, a savior, a comforter, and all these things, and that's why God allowed these things to take place for her to fall. But if she would have stayed with the counsel, the serpent could have never got to her. And listen to me, the serpent, as he beguiled Eve, he will try to come against you, brother and sister.
Yeah.
He will try to. If you go to the Amplified Bible where it talks about got her away from the simplicity of Christ, it says took her away from her sincere devotion. Satan will try to take you away from your sincere devotion to the word. God help us to keep our sincere devotion.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
To get away from wise counsel welcomes the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You take a young lady that goes out to a parking lot and there's nobody with her and she's got no protection out there, she is welcoming the enemy.
Yeah.
When she goes out there especially dressed in an inappropriate garment, she is welcoming the enemy. Listen to me, we need wise counsel, brother and sister.
Amen.
Because we need to protect, we need to treat it. I was loading my load today. I'm doing the stump grinder on my trailer. And as I was loading, I thought to myself, every time I try to load something, I try to strap my stuff down on my trailer in the event that if I get into an accident, that that will not fly off and hit somebody else. I want to prepare for the worst whenever I am strapping something down. Because I'm not just strapping it for the good times. I'm preparing for the bad times.
Right.
And brother and sister, that's what we're doing with the Word day in and day out. When we're combing through the Scriptures, is because we are preparing ourselves for battle. We are preparing for when the worst, when the enemy comes. Not because we're out of a fear, out of maturity, or out of a love for this word.
Amen.
And for the message. Amen. I'm going to give you just a word of advice, sister, real quick. We're going to get right on the text. But anytime you hear a ministry that starts preaching, he's telling you something that's, whoa, a warning for something, you need to let your ears tilt up and say, why is God telling me this? Because God's telling you for a reason. Amen.
Amen.
There is safety in wise counsel. Following Moses, they had miracles. Their shoes never wore out. They got water from a rock. They got healing from vipers. Been bit by the vipers. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. They had fresh manna every day. Scripture never says that happened to everybody that was just obedient and were perfect before God. Everybody got it. Is that right? Everybody got the manna.
Yeah.
Says you don't care until the next day. Everybody's shoes didn't wear out. He didn't say it because Brother Jones is, oh my, he's so good. He's so perfect. I'm going to give him shoes. He never wore out. It doesn't say that. Everybody had the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. That's where the devil tricks so many times because people say, well, I've got blessings in my life. They all did. But they did not get the promised land. Listen to me. I don't want just blessings. I want my promised land.
Mm-hmm.
I want my land. I want to know who I am. I want the full baptism of the Holy Ghost inside me where it is God's Spirit. You know, you don't just join a church. You are born into a church where God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And His life will be inside you. And it's Him living the life through you. Amen. That's what we want. These people that received these blessings, they still perished in the wilderness. The Moses part died of that, but the Joshua part took them all the way into their promised land. The children of Israel had to welcome the ministry of Joshua. Had to go beyond, well, I'm out of denominations. You got to go beyond that to where I know who I am in this word.
Amen.
Amen. When they received Moses, they received the deliverance from Egypt. And most of them died in the wilderness. Let's go to Jude 1:3-7. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I'm just going to go right into another quote. He says, now I want you to notice in Jude's address to this letter, who is he addressing? He's addressing Christians. He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's talking directly to Christians. Now notice, Jude, the servant of Christ, Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified, not to the world, to them that are sanctified in God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now he's addressing to the church, telling them, just to those that are sanctified in God, preserved in Christ and called. Now he said, now you're the people that I'm talking to, and you will earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now not a faith that was delivered, but the faith that was delivered. Did you notice there? The faith that was once delivered to the saints, not just a faith. Some people says, well, that's against my faith. There's only one faith, one Lord, one God, one baptism, one faith, one doctrine. Now people say, well, I have a faith and I go to my church. Well, that's not what Jude's speaking to here. He's talking to the people that's to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Brother and sister, I believe that the bride of Jesus Christ, we have a desire for a perfect faith. a desire that we can, that no matter what comes against us, I know who I am. Because I'm beholding the wise counsel. And I think it's just wonderful how the scripture is so perfect. Talk about the wise counsel. Because, you know, there's a wise virgin. There's a foolish virgin and there's a wise virgin. Listen to me, the wise, when you're beholding the wise counsel, you're wise. Is that easy enough? When you're beholding wise counsel, you're wise. Because you're following. You love the Lord. And that's why you're following the word, because you love the Lord. And because you love the Lord and you're following the word, you obey the word.
Right.
Amen? It's because his spirit inside you. Listen to me, his spirit inside you wrote the word. And his spirit inside you will believe the word.
Right.
So how will you overcome your enemies? His spirit. His spirit. How did David overcome Goliath? God's spirit. God put his spirit in David, and David had something that was a seed inside David where David believed the word. God gave him the inspiration to believe, I can kill this devil. I can slay Goliath. I can do these things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not in yourself, in his spirit. Or Moses tried to deliver himself. He fell. But whenever he was old and saggy on his arms and he had nothing left, nothing spiritual about him at all. But that's when God can use him. And when God put his anointing upon that man, brother and sister, he did great exploits because it was God doing it. And God, I believe with all my heart, there's people in this building, there's people that listen to my voice, that God's going to do great works in your life.
Amen.
He's amen. I believe God's going to do it. Not in Brother Tony, but not just Brother Tony, not just Brother Daniel, not just Elijah, not just Jordan, but you.
Amen.
God wants to do the greater works in you, Malachi. God wants to do the greater works in you, Sister Shirley. God wants to do the greater works in you, Brother Brian. God wants to do the works in you. How do you do it? Welcome to victory.
Amen.
Welcome into your life. Don't try to puff it up. Don't try to do that. Because when the time comes, whenever you are just welcoming God on a daily basis, you're meditating on his word, you're beholding the wise counsel on a daily basis, you won't even realize it when you're doing it most of the time. And you'll be slaying giants.
Amen.
Now imagine if you're killing a Goliath, you'll probably realize that one. That's a big one. Amen. The children of Israel had to welcome the ministry of Joshua to lead them into the land. I want to really hammer that. We must welcome the ministry of Joshua to lead us into our land. And listen to me, when a ministry is leading you into doing something hard, it's not very comfortable sometimes. Because he's telling you, hey, I want you to go fight that giant. You go take that land. You go take that land. That's not rubbing you on the back. We would love for the ministry, the devil fight you. You wait right here. I'll go take care of that devil. No, there may be times God will allow us to do that. But listen to me, God wants you to go fight that devil.
Yeah.
Right.
God wants you to know who you are, where you take your land.
Amen.
God gave you the promise. God, your word says, I can have it. I'm taking my promise. And I believe it's beyond just healings.
Yeah.
Right. It's your character in this word.
Amen.
To where on a daily basis, you are growing more and more and more into this word. Because it's a deep call to the deep. You've got a hunger inside. How many of you got a hunger? I really want to become this word. Absolutely. From your heart, I want to become this word. And you realize God put that creative thing inside your heart that wants that?
Amen.
That is a miracle. That is God that put that. That's a deep call to the deep where I want this so bad. I want the land. I want to be a Christian of substance. It's
Amen.
God that put that in your heart. And the reason God put that in your heart is because you can have it.
Amen?
Amen? You can have it, but you got to fight for it. If the children of Israel would have stayed with the ministry of Moses, they would have died and they'd have never taken the promised land. They would have never been positionally placed. They would have never reached the end time goal. Moses was absolutely a genuine prophet with signs and miracles, but they did not stop with the ministry of Moses. You know, Brother Branham had two parts of the ministry. He called people out, but he also positionally placed the people. Amen? I don't want to just come out of something. Lord, positionally place me. For I know who I am. I'm a person of substance.
Yeah.
Amen. The ministry of the prophet changed from not just come out of for my people, but claim your position. He preached the message of Ephesians parallels Joshua. But this isn't from that quote, from that message. Here's another quote I want to bring. Joshua knew that the land was there. He went first and found out. then he could come back as a witness. God called ministers ought not to be so stuffed with theology, but have visited the land to where we are going, bringing back evidence of the divine love and power of Jesus Christ to make known to their congregation that there is a land beyond the river. Oh God, help our ministry that to be able to not just go there and take the land to bring the evidence back, but to be able to present it in a way that we can receive it.
Yeah.
You say amen.
Amen.
You know who you need to pray for more than anybody? Your ministry. Because listen to me, that devil, I'm asking you, how many of you ever get discouraged in your mind? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you're human, you get discouraged. Mm-hmm. And you, how many of you sometimes say, I sure wish somebody would pray for me. Mm-hmm. You know who we should pray for more than anybody? The ministry. Because listen to me, you won't pray that God help the ministry to be able to not just be a Moses ministry of coming out of Egypt, but to positionally places where he's taking the grapes and say, hey, it's Sunday morning. Look at these grapes. Look at them. Look ahead. They're so big. Brother Daniel, come help me. Or Brother Tony, come help me. Look at these grapes. These grapes are for you. This is an evidence of something you can have.
Yeah.
Amen? And my man, if I'm telling you something that you can't have, that's one thing. But listen to me. We're telling you something you can have. You can have the grapes. How many of you want the grapes?
Amen.
I want the grapes. I want the joy. I want the happiness. I want the victory.
Amen.
Let's welcome the victory.
Amen.
Amen? Every service, every moment, every day. When you get up tomorrow, I want these words to burn in your heart. I'm welcoming the victory today.
Amen.
I'm reminded of when they saw the police officer over on Azusa Street. They said, we're looking for the revival. He's standing there swinging and saying, you're looking at it. I am the revival. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Brother and sister, you should be each one of you. I want you to be carrying the grape with you when you go to service. Every time when you go to work, you're carrying your grape around. Excuse me, my grape, it's kind of big. When you come to church, set your grape beside you. Pat it on top of it, like a bowling ball. What is it, my grape? Because I'm not just looking at a ministry's grape, this is my grape. Because
yeah.
I'm taking the land. I'm taking the promises. I see who I am. I'm the bride, amen?
Yeah.
I'm a believer, I believe. Whenever you slay Goliath, you take his head too. You got a grape in one hand, and you got Goliath's head in the other. You're going to pray for your backache. You know what you're hearing? You say, Brother Daniel, you're being silly. No, I think it's time that we carry our testimonies with us.
Amen.
We're reminded. You ever start doubting? Look at your grape beside you.
Yeah.
Brother and sister, God has called you to be victorious.
Right.
To where you can testify, I know this land is real. I know there's a land of milk and honey because I'm abiding in it. How many of you are abiding in your land?
Amen.
Absolutely. On a daily basis, you're fighting for your land every day. Amen. If you give me about 12 more minutes, I'll try to be done. Don't hold me to it, but I'll try. The ministry today, we don't want us to just point to Brother Brenham's ministry and say there's miracles there. God can do the miracles here today because he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't want yourself. You say, well, God did it back in 1963. God did it in 1965. God did it in 2024.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Tony, I'm trying to hold off and give you your testimony. Bite your thumb. There's coming. Well, you know what that is? It's a grape. Boing, 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 boing. That's why it felt like a grape. Toward the end of it, a big grape. There's healings that take place right here. What is it? Grapes. Absolutely. In this service, I was standing right here and healed in my shoulder. What was it?
A grape.
God does that to show you the land is there and it's for you.
Amen.
You can have the healing. You can have the deliverance. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can have these things.
Amen.
You can have the Holy Ghost on you so much you just got to run sometimes.
Yeah.
Brother Graham talked about that running around the tree over and over and over. I remember at that point, I'd never done that before. One day I was at the car lot over at Breeden Dodge. I was doing pictures, and I was just thinking on the Lord, and that spirit hit me, and I was getting running around, and I caught myself running around a vehicle. What's that not doing out there? Leave me alone. I'm happy. What was I doing? Carrying my grapes. Listen to me, we need to pack the grapes around us. When someone sees you, they know that's a person of substance.
Yeah.
Amen. It don't matter what they're going through. If they're going through the valley, they got grapes.
Amen.
If they're going on the mountaintop, they've got grapes.
Yep.
Amen.
They've got more grapes than I've ever seen in my life because you're a believer.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that. I believe God wants us to carry our testimonies around. Brother Tony said this morning, or the before service, let us be like Sister Pansy. So we come with our grape,
amen,
and we're testifying what God's doing. We must be first partakers. Listen to what he says. But brother, the real church of the living God has no forms, has no creeds. Listen to this. It's led by the power of God that's in every individual's heart. Pass by your brother and don't fuss at them. We are greater than they. Don't fuss at them. Just go by. I want you to notice a great thing taking place here. There was Esau, Moab, and those that we referred to last night. Many of those people, many of those were actually borderline believers. They were right on the border. Oh, I got to stop here on something just a moment. Won't take me just a minute. Many people refer to the promised land in the millennium. It's not. The promised land has wars and killings. The millennium won't have any wars or killing. It refer to the Holy Spirit, the battleground.
Right.
Justification, they left Egypt. There are three stages of their journey. They left Egypt under justification, believing the word. They separated themselves from the Egyptians and come out. They crossed the Red Sea and killed the things behind them, which was sanctification. Through the blood that kills all human desires of evil. Second stage of the journey. But the third stage was when they crossed Jordan into the promised land where their inheritance lay. Their inheritance never laid in Egypt, though God blessed them in Egypt. The Lutherans that believe in justification, your inheritance don't lay there if you're called. If you're just a Lutheran, that's all the further you'll ever get. You Methodists, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Church of God, who believe in sanctification, the killing of the evil that's in you, taking out the roots of evil, you belong across the river. But to you men and women, that there is something in you calling out, the deep calling to the deep, there is a Jordan yet to cross and a land beyond the river. Said, you're going to pass by your brethren, you're going to pass by your brethren, and they're near the borderline. And if you pass by them, don't say nothing to them. I have given Esau this mountain. I have given Moab this country. And I don't want you fussing at them, proselyting. Just move through gently. You know where you're going. Don't take up their habits. Oh my, there is a whole nugget full right there, brother and sister. I'm talking about being a Christian of substance. Okay? Don't allow the devil to draw you into fussing and fighting and a bunch of nonsense. You stay gentle. Don't fuss at anybody. You know who you are. You know where you're going. And you just keep marching as pleasant as you possibly can be. There will be men that have been that have blessed ministries, but they'll never be able to take their people into the promised land. As far as tangible. We are commanded to not take up their habits. We're commanded not to argue. They'll try to get you to relax. Oh, don't you? You don't have to fight for anything. We're just. You got to fight for every inch of ground, brother and sister. You know who you are. You know where you're going. Don't allow the devil. Listen, this is what I'm leaving you with. Keep beholding the wise counsel, because the devil will try to get you to fussing and looking at this stuff. Don't worry about that stuff. If they try to fuss, you love them, and you just keep going on. You keep moving forward. Amen. And I want to say you welcome the victory.
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of pages left. I'm not even going to try. It's all standing. I think it went a little over 12 minutes. But listen to me. How many of you want to welcome the victory in your life?
Yeah.
Listen to me. I want to encourage you. If you ever begin to get down and you start feeling down, you welcome the victory. We have the ability to create an atmosphere wherever we're at. And keeping a positive energy, a positive attitude of moving forward. It don't matter how I feel, I've got my grapes.
Amen.
Keep your grapes with you, brother and sister.
Amen.
Keep the testimonies that God's doing for you to where you can look at that and say, I know there's grapes on the other side. Because I've got it right here.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you this evening. And I just pray that, Lord, I know through my chopped up language that I have, I'm not a very good speaker, Lord, but I pray that your voice within the voice, Lord, would be able to speak to their hearts tonight, Lord, that they can see who they are in your word, Lord. Lord God, that they can each one say the land is theirs. They can take that land. Lord, you have given us a ministry today, Father. Lord, of where we're not just talking about going out in denominations, but Lord, you are positionally placing this bride, Lord, service after service after service, Lord. You're speaking, Lord, of saying, behold the wise counsel. Look at us. Look at this word. Know, look who you are. Oh God, I ask you that you walk the aisle this evening, Lord. Would you knock on every heart afresh, Lord? Give them a fresh opportunity of a clean slate tonight, Lord. Say, Lord, if I've been negative in any way, Lord, burn that out of me, oh God. Oh God, put a love in my heart for you, a love for my brothers and my sisters, Lord, that I will never be able to allow myself to fall into a fussing situation with anybody, Lord, but I would be that gentle dove, Lord. Oh God, may your Holy Spirit come, that transforming power, Lord, would you just burn in every heart tonight, Lord. I ask you to restore their prayer lives, oh God, their study lives, Lord Jesus. Would you put such a hunger in them, Lord Jesus, to want to get into the word, Lord, to get into abiding in the wise counsel, oh God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, bring victory into our lives, Lord. We want to welcome you, Holy Spirit. We know that you are the victory, Lord, and we want to behold you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Let our musicians come up, but tell me. I want to say God bless you, and I sure thank y'all for pulling on the word tonight. I know you guys are tired tonight, but I pray you got something from it. Maybe you go home and you'll be thinking on a little while.
Amen.
God bless you. Appreciate you.
Enjoyed that.
Amen.
Amen. You know, every one of us, we were born into this world as a babe. We didn't know anything. And your whole life is nothing but one continual learning after another. It's supposed to be. Just wise counsel is what you need.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't know of any counsel any wiser than the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. We want to welcome, as Brother Daniel was saying, we want to welcome everything that the Lord has promised us.
Amen.
You know, when he recorded that scripture, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. You know, that's a big scripture. Let this mind be in you. It means it wants to be there. But you can do something to hinder it. But if you'll let it. And that's scripture. You know, look at what it says. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who was in being in the form of God. Do you believe you're in the form of God?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's telling you to.
Yeah.
Who's being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
That's right.
What has he given us? Mm-hmm. Right? He's given us a position as a bride of Christ to be by his side. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he humbled himself and became obedient.
Amen.
Amen. Obedient to death, even death of the cross. And so you got to let that mind be in you. You know, God wants us to be stable.
Yeah.
Right? You have loved ones and friends and family and workers around you, and they need to see something that resembles God.
Amen.
They need to see the stability that God has. And the scripture said, God is, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. So he's got children or lights. In whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That's our Heavenly Father. He's constant. You know, the sun's always shining. Right?
Yep.
It's just clouds getting away sometime, and you think it's not. But the sun, God is always there.
Right.
He's always getting, there's no variables, no shadow of turning, and we're his children.
Right.
He expects us to be stable for those around us. Let them see something that doesn't waver. Like Brother Daniel said, no matter what you're going through, let them see stability. And the only way you have that is when you sink your teeth into wise counsel. Let that be the thing that conducts your life. you know, this word is right. I was visiting a machine shop today to pick up some stuff we had done, and one of the owners was there. We were talking, and next thing you know, he was just letting all kinds of words fly, kind of words that I wouldn't want to hear, you know. And they were talking about world events, and I just, you know, I figure some way one will bring something in. And I said, you know, I don't know if you guys believe the Bible or not. I said, but I'm going to tell you, Zechariah 14 says the time will come where every nation will gather against Jerusalem. You know, then after that, the same guy started speaking, yeah, you're right, there's all kinds of things in the Bible that's coming to pass or whatever. But be stable. Let there be something that people can see that, hey, point them to the Word of God like they need to be. And so we're like, I've said this before, we're like washing machines. The church is like a washing machine. How many's ever had a washing machine get out of balance?
Yeah.
You know what they do when they get out of balance? They go bouncing across the floor. Mm-hmm. But you take a washing machine that's got that's heavier. The heavier it is, the more out of balance it can handle and not get all bent out of shape. Right? You take a church that's got good, stable, solid Christians that can be helped when those who come in who aren't so stable, you can help them because you're stable. Right? And we're like that as individuals. Your friends, family, loved ones counting on you. They may not know it, but they're counting on you to be stable and to give them wise counsel. When you believe wise counsel and you live it, then you're giving wise counsel out to others. And so Brother Daniel started mentioning it at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant that all of our fathers passed through were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and all of them ate that same spiritual meat and drank from that rock. They all did.
Yep.
But with many, he was not pleased.
Right.
So he goes on to say, so let every one of us take heed, right, lest we fall. As long as we're in this flesh, we need to be pressing on, seeking that wise counsel that Brother Daniel gave us tonight.
Amen.
Have you enjoyed that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's have you see. This is a song Brother Perryman used to sing years and years ago. We've sung it a little bit. I don't think it's in there.